This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Monday, November 7th.
Yes, it is.
Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway.
If you say so.
The Fantasy Footballers Podcast back with you. The weather's cooling down, you can tell, because Mike's got a fancy flannel on today.
You know it. Had the hoodie on.
Looks brand new. Is that a new flannel?
No. Okay. But in Arizona, the flannels do not get full-time usage.
It's a one time a year. They always look brand new.
Which is nice. But yeah, it's crisp outside. I know the rest of the country is like, yeah, it's been this way for a while. But it's just now in Arizona. Yeah. And we're happy about it.
It's always post-Halloween out here.
Yeah,
when it finally cools down, but it's nice.
Sometimes you eat your turkey in the pool,
as they say. No, we get to go outside now at night and play sports and enjoy the weather. And this is why people live here, right?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
I should tell you this story. Ooh. Before we get into it, because we got weekly rewind, studs and duds, Monday pun day, but. I got this weekend, next weekend I'm out of town, all right? So this weekend,
right.
Really, really nice weather, and I wanted a reason to be outside. Because when it's nice out, you just want to be outside.
Sure.
So I'm looking at projects, and it crosses my mind. Maybe I do it.
Maybe you do what?
Maybe I hang the Christmas lights.
Oh, okay. Yes, okay. Welcome.
Okay.
After our big discussion. And I'm like, you know, I've got this whole day off. I'm like, it's so nice out.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah. And?
So I pull out I've got two big containers, right? Mm-hmm. And they got wheels on them. And they're literally like Christmas colored.
I like where this is going.
Yeah. I roll them out onto the driveway and I start opening them up, trying to remember what I do.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then I got super embarrassed and I rolled them back
into
the garage.
Oh, no. Come on. Your neighbors were so proud of you.
I don't think they were proud of me.
I have another house in my neighborhood that beat me to the
decorations. Really? They put them up?
Oh, yeah. And I am so proud of them.
I went back into the house all sad. I was like, you know, I just don't feel it. I don't feel it yet. I gotta wait.
If you had put them up, you'd be feeling it.
Yeah. The Grinch over here.
I know. It was all social pressure. That's all it was.
I saw some.
Instead of my own enjoyment.
We did a Halloween drive, you know, whatever, a week ago, trying to see some lights. We saw two houses that were just Christmas lights.
Just decked out?
Before Halloween?
Yes.
They skipped it?
They was like, they were trying to say this is our Halloween decorations, but it was clearly Christmas lights.
I didn't have the courage. Obviously, you two are, you know, when the calendar, you tear the page off, it hits November, you guys are all in.
That is correct.
But you would admit that there is a time in which it would be too early, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, honestly, I think before Halloween.
I tend to agree with that.
That's pretty. that's too far.
Okay, so if I came on the show and I was like, I'm an October 15th guy, you would both protest.
Yeah, because Halloween is boss.
Okay.
And then November 1st means it's Christmas time.
I wish there was a way to decorate for both simultaneously. You know, where like you just...
I saw two houses do it.
Where you just turn, you know, you just turn every decoration around and it's Christmas on the other
side.
They
were like, check out our spooky green, red, purple lights.
Oh, wait, they mixed the colors?
Well, it was just the regular Christmas lights.
It's like all holidays in one decorations. Yeah. All right, let's...
It was a good time.
Let's react to this wild week 9. I'm going to be sweating tonight, by the way.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Monday Night Football game, Saints, Ravens. But let's react to the weekend the way we always do in the most sophisticated of manners.
Yes.
I'll let you take this, Mike.
Oh, yes. Trust in Fields.
Justin Field of Dreams.
Yes. You had Whoa Mixon.
This is a good one. President Mixon.
You also had Cordero back again.
Oh, yeah.
And Dallas Goedert.
Or Dallas God Mode.
And then,
oh, no, I don't like this one.
Michael Pitstain.
I do like this one. I played against him, Justin Herbert.
How about Goal Komet?
Very well done. How about Tyler Ugly?
Yeah.
Or Kadarius Baloney.
Or the awful Foreman.
And don't forget, we'll end with Tyler Eggby as well.
Yes.
The goose.
The goose was cooked.
I tried to...
You did.
I tried to warn you, Mike.
You did.
I had a feeling. He is
to,
like...
To be fair, your trade offer would have gotten me equal points because you tried to trade me a bye week tight end.
Well, certainly. Yeah, no, I mean, for the rest of the season, it would have been more beneficial potentially.
Sure.
Tyler Higbee is just...
He's a strange cat.
He's just a guy that when you want to use him, he's pretty good, like as a team, right? Like the Rams, when they want to use him, cool. But they just turn the faucet off sometimes. It's just like, this. Nothing's going right for them, by the way.
Yeah, they should have kept the faucet on for Tyler Higbee.
I don't know what they should have done. I think maybe an offensive line at some point would be helpful.
Can't hurt. When you max out the credit card...
Okay.
It seems like a whole lot of fun because you get all these new toys. You got your jet skis. You got your trampolines.
Yeah.
You got all this stuff. And you're like, hey, this will never, ever come back to haunt me, ever.
This is funny.
And then...
Bankruptcy.
And then, then the credit card company says, no, that's not free money. That's our money. Also, you owe us way more now. And you go, oh, well, here's all of our stuff back.
Yeah, but you want to know what they were able to keep through their bankruptcy?
Yes.
The Super Bowl ring, and it's all worth it.
Yeah. I'm sure Rams fans would say, yeah, totally worth it. But
you still have to pay the piper.
Yeah, when you're at this point of the trade, like similar to the, for a baseball reference, the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yes, yes.
You pay.
You bought the.
And sometimes you pay for a very, very long time.
Yeah, and I think it's probably good for the NFL if teams still, if they do have to pay that price.
Yeah.
So that it's not the new path.
You can't just keep buying over and over and over.
I mean, this is what we're doing in our league of record. Like, we're a keeper league.
Yes.
And you go and you buy and you sell out to try to win, which is why for Andy and I, who are battling for basically the same playoff spot, and we have sold next year.
Yeah, you remember how I told you guys on this show that Joe Mixon's time for touchdowns was coming?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
I didn't really want it to be this week against me, but it was. It was five.
Congrats,
too many.
Congrats on being right.
Yeah, it feels great. Into the news we go.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
They didn't need to throw him one. You know, four on the ground would have been fine. You don't need to throw him one. That was a little...
rude.
Yeah.
T. Higgins says it was super rude.
Odell Beckham Jr. expected to be cleared by the end of the week, according to Jay Glazer.
We'll be talking about him on tomorrow's show because he should be picked up and, you know, and he will sign a contract somewhere. And there's some teams like the Ravens and the Cowboys that could really use him, and he could end up with a valuable role.
He is a difficult signing.
Agreed.
Because you don't know where he's going, and he's not eligible for IR, at least in the platforms I've picked him up and then dropped him in.
Yeah.
So it's a bench spot in the middle of bye weeks that is tough to pick, and we'll debate kind of the value tomorrow. Romeo Doubs. Well, let's just talk about all Packers.
Yeah. Oh, no.
What's going on?
They're hurt in so many different ways. Their team is struggling. They lost to the Lions, and then to add injury to the insult, they lost Romeo Doubs, carted off with a right ankle injury, boot and crutches after the game. It's not looking good for his outlook. Aaron Jones also exited, was in a boot, had the x-rays, was quickly ruled out. Surprisingly, it seems like there's been some good news since then, that the x-rays and did he get an MRI or whatever, everything came back pretty good, and they said he might be good to go for this week.
He wanted to come back and play in that game. Christian Watson, concussion?
Yep, and that is...
It was? Oh, dude.
Yeah, he just had one recently that kept him out a while, so you would expect him to not be back this week.
2 in 1 week.
And right? Then, I mean, don't forget Rashawn Gary feared to have torn his ACL, so that's a huge hit for the
Pack,
too.
So Packer country might be one of the only places stinkier than Cardinal country.
Let's die.
Yeah, we're not doing well. Thank you, Al. Evan Engram exited with the back injury. Returned later in the game. Josh Allen.
Sort of, yeah, but not really.
Josh Allen injured his right elbow on a strip sack late in the fourth quarter against the Jets. If it's a sprain, he can play through it, is what we're hearing. But we will see. I mean, immediately following the injury during the game, he chucked it about 900 yards downfield to Stephon Diggs, because I've seen comments about him and his velocity. He said there's some slight pain. He'll get through it. Dealt with an injury like this before in 2018. So,
and missed four games because of it. So that's the big thing. It's possibly the UCL. And he missed a quarter of a season, you know, just a few years ago with it. So there is, you need to be keeping your eyes on it. So like if you have Josh Allen on your team, you need to be hitting that wire tomorrow for a quarterback replacement. Just in case.
And in the Panthers.
Oh, here's your replacement.
Yeah, here you go.
Yeah, Sam Darnold coming off of IR after a stint on there. Baker Mayfield replaced P.J. Walker at the half. The carousel, I mean, Panthers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not good.
Yeah, P.J. Walker burned too bright in that Falcons game.
Yeah, and they also fired their defensive line coach immediately after giving up 5 touchdowns to Joe Mixon.
Makes sense. Math checks out.
Mark Andrews, Gus Edwards. Andrews is out. Gus Edwards is doubtful.
Yeah, what's... He's not going to play.
Yeah, but what if he did?
But he's not going to. He's not questionable. He is doubtful, which in the NFL means not going to play. Just mark him out.
But what if he did?
Oh, if this is said as a Kenyon Drake...
if he does play, he plays 0 snaps. He's just on the sideline with a helmet.
He was fine.
But he's not.
No,
and just mark him out.
Oh,
good
this is
grief.
Yeah, you need a roster spot there, Mikey?
Yeah, there's some things I could have done, but they're like, well, he's doubtful.
That was today's news and notes brought to you by our friends at USAA Insurance. Learn more at USAA.com/insurance.
This week's Fantasy Stud Muffins.
Well, I see one of the stud muffins over in Deucer's Alley right now.
Oh.
You talking about me?
Yeah. I'm talking about your shirt. Yeah, your shirt is...
and you handsome devil.
Those things were in the clearance aisle about 2 weeks ago. So you probably got a bunch of them.
I love it. We've been waiting around for a while, Mike, right?
Yeah,
for those listening at home, a very nice Justin Fields shirt.
Say, that's not a discount. That was a full price shirt because that was purchased... Back when they were full price.
Yeah, he was full price at one point in time.
We'll go back to Deucer's Alley in the next section for a different shirt that one of them is wearing.
That's right. Yeah, with some studs, some duds in Deucer's Alley. Mm-hmm.
But Justin freaking Fields set the regular season record for quarterback rushing yards. He broke Michael Vick's record. He went 17 of 28, 123-3. So the yardage not great, but doesn't matter. This is efficient touchdown passing plus 15 carries, 178 yards, a rushing touchdown, one of the absolute highlights of the season, where he got the defense with he like turned his body and did a pump fake and then juked two more guys out of their shoes and just scampered on into the end zone. It was
scampered is not a good enough adjective, because that dude flew.
Okay,
he was so fast. I can't wait to see
they said he broke. I don't remember it was like 20 or 21, but he's the only quarterback so far to hit this threshold.
It was unbelievable. Just watching that play and seeing how fast he ran.
You guys talking about the quarterback 7 on the year?
Makes sense. I mean,
let's go, Justin.
And are we talking about the great, awesome Bears offense? Because that's apparently sure what it seems like. Nobody can stop them
now. The Dolphins don't particularly stop anybody.
That is fair. But the Patriots do, and they couldn't.
Yeah. Justin Fields, when you run for 178 yards, you broke the game. I mean, frankly, he's done things. This whole situation with Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears will be pointed to by fantasy and NFL analysts as an example of something changing in the middle of the season that makes no sense. Like, how often do we say the fallacy of rational coaching?
Right.
Like coaches, yes. They do what they do and they can't change, right? Josh McDaniels, he can't change. Cliff Kingsbury,
he
can't change.
Because McDaniels gets up in games and then changes things and then they lose.
But that's kind of the thing, right? Like, he just does what he does. And then here is Justin Fields, and it feels like they just figured it out.
It looks like
let's just do something completely different. Let's use him like Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you go and get him Chase Claypool. That's going to pay dividends moving down the line.
Yeah, the craziest part
to me. N'Keal Harry, Mooney, and Claypool, those are three guys that can make plays happen if you chuck the ball down the field.
Yeah, you know who can't? Equanimeous St. Brown dropping the game.
Yeah, he did lose the game. But that's, to me, the craziest part for Justin Fields is, one, the midseason transformation, but two, this was done basically with the set of weapons that he was given at the beginning of the year, which on paper is about the worst wide receiver core or close. I mean, whatever, you can argue, but at least a bottom three wide receiver core in the entire league. Chase Claypool only played a handful of snaps, but once he's integrated, this is very exciting for Justin Fields' future.
Well, they have to go through the gauntlet, though, Mike. Detroit, Atlanta. The next 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Should probably play Justin Fields for the foreseeable future. Honestly, he's set up too by the fact, you know, they traded away their two defensive players, Roquan Smith and Robert Quinn. So, like, shootouts are going to be a part of the Chicago experience, which is going to be really fun. They've also scored, listen to this, Rich Rebar tweeted this out. They've scored on 53% of their drives the past 3 weeks. That is the highest rate in the league.
That's madness.
Yeah, and like I said, obviously Miami, bad defense. But those three games, okay, Miami, but the other two were the Patriots and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Two of the best defenses out there.
Tua was great again. 300 yards, three touchdowns, no picks. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Geno Smith with a nice week.
Yep.
But really, the headline was Fields. But Mahomes is really, really good.
He's very good. Also threw it 68 times.
And he rushed for 63.
Yeah.
That was where he killed him.
I believe their running backs were something like 12 yards gained on 11 carries for the entire game, like combined. Like all the Isaiah Pacheco hopes and dreams.
Yeah, it was actually Jerick McKinnon, I believe, led the team in snaps. So I'm done guessing on the Kansas City Chiefs running back.
Like, wow. Mahomes outrushed them by, like, I don't know, 5X?
Yeah, and he's on pace for 5,536 passing yards, which would be the NFL record.
And they didn't even use Tony.
I mean, he was in there for a little bit.
Yeah, a couple of plays. But
yes, once he's in the offense, it will be a difference.
Running backs. Sorry. Let me take myself out of it, but President Mixon himself.
I am not a crook.
Look, this was great if you had Joe Mixon. This was a disaster if you played against him.
Yes.
22 for 153, four rushing touchdowns. He had 4 for 58 and a touchdown through the air.
Just insanity in the game of two replayed what looked like touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, they could have gone, I skewed them towards they should have been touchdowns, but they got called back, both of them, and then they turned into Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon is the running back four on the season now. And
yeah, that, I mean, five touchdowns in a week will do that.
The regression to the touchdowns on the ground, it happened, and congratulations if you have him, and I'm sorry if you played against him. I have a chance to overcome it in our league of record tonight.
Yeah, you have sold out to win this week. Your opponent sold out to beat you this week, and you both have put up awesome weekly performances.
Yeah, this is going to suck.
One of you is getting a bad beat, and your situation is you need Chris Olave to hold on to. You're basically
outscore
about even.
Kenyon Drake and the Ravens defense, and then I have a 4-point lead on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I don't know. What do you handicap that at? 50-50?
Pretty close.
Yeah. I would give it 55% to you.
Thank you. Kenneth Walker.
Oh, man.
He's got a...
He's nasty.
He's got a Derrick Henry-esque wear down, okay? What I mean by that is when you play against Kenneth Walker, he gets you eventually, right? Like, a lot of the times, Derrick Henry, you've seen the stats mm-hmm. on his yards per carry as the game progresses from this carry to that carry. Kenneth Walker wears you down by the end of the game. This entire offensive line, Seattle's commitment to the run, what they're doing, wears you down. Five straight games with a rushing touchdown, 26 for 109 and two. You heard Mr. Pete Carroll come out before the weekend and say, we haven't even unlocked him yet.
Yeah, I mean, his longest run of the game was only 15 yards because it's just every run is good. Every run is he's hard to bring down, gets, you know, positive yards, and I don't see this stopping anytime soon. He's been a top 10 fantasy running back three of the last 4 weeks.
They're too disciplined as a team. They're going to be committed to him. I am furious because every league that I'm in, I go and I for weeks I've gone and tried to trade for Kenneth Walker.
Mm.
Like I made weeks ago, I was trying to shoot Jonathan Taylor out for Kenneth Walker before the breakouts were happening. And every freaking league I'm in, when I see the name of the team that has Kenneth Walker, the hitman, his stupid name is under the stupid player, and I know I'm not going to get him.
You are correct.
It's awful.
You cannot take me away from my precious, precious Kenneth Walker.
Travis Etienne's pretty good.
Yeah, that's working out.
28 for 109 and two.
I was, you know, looking back of just the madness that are dynasty rookie drafts. The Travis Etienne year, you had Najee, Etienne, and Javonte Williams.
Wow.
And Etienne was, you know, a very, very high pick. But most leagues, I think, went ahead of Javonte Williams. Has the unfortunate injury, but then it's like, from that season, it's holy crap, Najee Harris skyrockets in value. Javonte Williams, what a just a catastrophic bust Travis Etienne is. 1 year forward.
He's the one you want.
You would trade. It's like you might trade Javonte and Najee just to get Travis Etienne.
It's like three.
This world is chaos.
It's like a long race, and all three supercars get off the line, and one takes a big lead, and then the wheels fall off. And it's wild. Derrick Henry, 17 for 115 and two. It was like 1.5 drives where he really just broke a couple. He had a 57-yard run, broke a couple big plays.
He should have ended this game with 30 carries. I don't know why they kept taking him out on second 17 and long.
17 carries is an embarrassment.
It is in a game that you were winning.
You were winning.
And, you know, look, I was very invested. Also, thank you for doing just enough.
And for Derrick Henry to get those points.
Yes. But it was really crazy because it was like, okay, first down, they'd run him, he'd get 2 yards, and then they'd take him off the field. It's like, what are you doing? You just punt it then. This is stupid.
Malik Willis completed five passes?
Yep. And none of them to wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't have any wide receivers.
There was definitely some bad wide receiver play that Willis had some good sideline passes that were not caught.
I pretty much, like, I don't think Malik Willis is going to be an NFL starter. Like, I haven't thought that.
It's pretty tough.
But I also don't hold much of last night against him because I'm pretty sure when the game plan's written up in the binder, it has, like, Malik Willis completes 8 passes. Like, that's what they wanted to do. was, you know, if you saw his quote about having to scramble and take these sacks, he's like, you know, they're like, what were you thinking? He's like, I was thinking somebody better get open because I can't keep doing this. That's exactly what his quote was.
Wow.
Because the wide receivers, the experiment of trading A.J. Brown away, not a good experiment.
That is why they should have just said, King Henry, touch this ball over and over.
Eckler was great again. Cordarrelle Patterson, 13 for 44 and 2.
Welcome back.
Nose for the end zone, and they limited his snaps, but he was still great for fantasy. And then some other mentions here, Michael Carter.
Yeah.
He actually looked pretty good in this game. Right, going against Buffalo, 12 for 76 and a touchdown.
Apparently you can run on Buffalo.
Ramondre, he got into the end zone. He was a little bit inefficient on the ground, but got there through the air. Miles Sanders on Thursday, Jason start of the week, did well. Damian Pierce. And then let's talk briefly.
This is tough.
Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson. They basically split snaps, but Wilson had more juice in this one, 9 for 51. He caught a touchdown through the air. Mostert got one on the ground.
Yeah, they both look great. Like, you watch,
they seem interchangeable.
Absolutely. I mean, when you watched this game, I remember a couple plays where I was like, oh, man, Raheem Mostert is so fast. Oh, that's Jeff Wilson. They both
looked great.
Have so much juice, and because they know the system well, they're going to be in a 50-50 split the rest of the way, which means Jeff Wilson is someone you could pick up and spot start. Now, obviously, you don't get the touchdown. You're not going to be very happy, and that's going to be how it is most weeks. But I think both of these players are going to be spot starts that you're hoping get a touchdown.
Yeah, it makes me...
It's a downgrade for Mostert.
I see. It makes me a little nervous about Mostert if I'm counting on him running into the playoffs. Like, I might try to package him with somebody to upgrade a little bit workload-wise. But overall, this offense is very, very good. And if they can figure their defense out a little bit, they'll be a threat. Dolphins have been putting up points each and every week. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back with wide receiver studs.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app, and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners. to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year, or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, 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 and social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/footballers. Fantasy football is an emotional game. And it was very emotional for Jason yesterday. He was facing Davante Adams, who had 17 targets. 10 for 146 and 2.
You're lucky.
Oh, look.
Should have been so much worse.
The Davante Adams game was wild. If you played him or played against him, you had an emotional roller coaster because that first half, that first quarter, I mean, he had almost 20 fantasy points with like 4 minutes were, you know, gone in the game. Playing against him, 9 targets, 9 receptions, 146 yards, 2 touchdowns in the first half. Yeah. That's insane.
What if you gave him 8 more targets in the second half? What happens?
Then he probably doubles his per... Wait, no, he gets no more yards. He did not catch another ball despite a ton of targets.
He had 1 for 0.
Oh, that's right. He had 1 reception for no yards the second half. I mean, so...
On 8 targets.
In 2 different leagues, my main 2 right. leagues, one of them I was playing Davante Adams, one of them I was playing against Davante Adams. I didn't know how to feel.
So Adams, overall, a huge day. Tyreek Hill keeps doing it, 7 for 143 and a touchdown. He is on 17-game pace of 2,085 yards, and he's just unguardable.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Jefferson, 7 for 115 and 1. Kind of a weird day for Jefferson. Still got it done, but their offense wasn't really cruising for most of the game. And Cooper Kupp's ankle is fine, 7 for 120 and 1.
Especially
every
when you don't guard him.
That helps his ankle look better. Yeah.
So insane. It's the touchdown. It was wide open. Cooper Kupp's just running down the field.
It's a good throw.
Oh,
it was a good throw.
It was definitely a good throw, but I'm saying this, like, any quarterback wide receiver combo with that play should have scored a touchdown, and you're giving that to Cooper Kupp? It's insanity.
It's just, defenses, man. They hand players off in zone defenses, and if that communication breaks down, the superstars, Cooper Kupp, Travis yep. Kelce, those guys.
I mean, Cooper Kupp is very fast. He's a great athlete, but he's not like Tyreek Hill speed.
Correct.
And every game you have a couple deep passes where he's just wide open. It's unbelievable.
Christian Kirk, Mike, start of the week, bounced back, 8 for 76 and 1. Nice to see. Jaylen Waddle, 7 targets, 5 for 85, and a touchdown. Jaylen Waddle has been a PPR king this year. He is the wide receiver what? Why don't you guess for me in a half point?
Wide receiver 5?
4. Receiver 4 this year. Last 2 weeks, Waddle's been inside the top 6. And that's with Tyreek Hill still out. Performing him half the time.
It's crazy. So our DraftKings lineup, you had Jaylen Waddle.
Yeah.
So much cheaper.
Yeah.
And he was a great play, and yet he was the wrong play.
Oh, yeah. I got shamed this week.
Yeah, you did.
It's back to me. For 1 week.
Sure. Yeah.
Other big games, you can call them out if you have interest in talking about them. Lazard, Samuel, yes. Lockett, Palmer with 10 targets.
Lazard, 4 for 87 and a touchdown. A just devastating for me personally. Lazard with like a 40 or 50 yard reception goes down on the 1, which then I believe turned into devastation for the Packers because it turned into an interception in the end zone. Like the Green Bay game was so bizarre of just 1 yard here or there, and it's a drastically different game. But it ended up the way it did and was a devastating loss.
Darnell Mooney went 7 for 43 and a touchdown.
Yeah, baby.
You had A.J. Brown's big Thursday night. How about this? Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
9 targets with Zach Wilson, 8 for 92 in this game.
Very good game. He's going on bye now, which is bad timing.
Yeah. And then Terrace Marshall.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I mean, I don't know if that reaction was appropriate, but
I got to get it in now.
Catch a touchdown pass.
We don't know if we'll ever be able to say his name again, but it is 2 weeks in a row. We talked about DJ Moore being gone, DJ Moore has been great now that Robbie Anderson and Christian McCaffrey are gone, but Terrace Marshall behind the scenes, 9 targets last week for 87 yards, 6 this week, 53 and a touchdown.
Baker's
he's only 22 years old.
Taking over.
Come on, Terrace, be a thing.
I don't have the answer to this. Maybe you guys do. Is there an untrade policy in the NFL? Like, could the Arizona Cardinals undo the Robbie Anderson trade?
Oh, an untrade.
Yeah, and you know, or just
like a return to sender.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like send him back. And you know what?
Compensation.
Keep the picks.
Right. Yeah.
We're just gonna send you Robbie Anderson back to improve our team.
This isn't a warranty claim. This is just you're returning the item.
Yeah.
I believe
gently used.
Yeah.
Get off the team, Robbie. Goodness.
Yeah.
What was that?
Dallas Goedert, 8 for 100. Cole Kmet scored twice. He is a touchdown dart throw right now. Travis Kelce, 17 targets.
10 receptions.
Yeah. He also had a big one called back on penalty. Cade Otton. He is a potentially interesting glance at the tight end position.
Well, he's worth streaming when Braid is out.
Well, and also when they play Seattle, like next week.
Yeah, because Seattle played Zach Ertz, who scored against them. 5 for 40 and touchdown. Noah Fant went 5 for 96. The Arizona Cardinals could not stop a singular kind of like tight end, goes out, flares right, play action,
yeah,
roll, give it to the tight end, let him run forever.
All season long. I mean, we have been saying over and over, you start tight ends against Seattle and you start tight ends against Arizona. They just happen to play each other, and so all tight ends were great in that situation. But yeah, I mean, keep starting tight ends against those two teams.
TJ Hockenson, 9 targets, 9 for 70.
That was super surprising and great to see.
Super involved. He played 90%+ of snaps. I think 85%+ of passing routes ran. He's going to be a part of this offense.
Caught every single target.
Yeah. I mean, his floor looks higher than it was. Obviously, look, you're going from Jared Goff to Kirk Cousins. It's not Patrick Mahomes, but that's an upgrade.
And apparently,
also, KJ Osborne, 0.
Also, a very shredded Kirk Cousins. Did you see the video of him dancing in the airplane?
I was shocked.
And you're like, dude, who's this jacked guy? Kirk Cousins!
Yeah. He's...
I would have thought he would be
riding
more
high.
More Manning.
Mac Jones.
Yeah,
yes, more Manning.
But no, he's got a six pack, big old guns. Like, good for you, Kirk.
His pecs were gigantic.
What was that all about? Like, Kirk Cousins, you're supposed to make
a lot of Kirk Cousins talk.
I'm just saying he's a
physique.
He's supposed to look like us.
He's the athlete that's supposed to make me have hope that I could actually do what they're doing.
It's not it. He's not it.
And then he takes his shirt off and he's stupid, sexy Flanders.
Yeah, I think he works out. I really do.
Deucers, you got any thoughts on the Kirk Cousins?
They share our beliefs.
Borg Ogun, you got any thoughts?
Looks great. You've been using the Bowflex, I guess.
Okay.
I just had to Google it because I hadn't seen it yet, but he's iced out too. He's got a lot of drip on
there.
Well,
they were sharing on the plane.
Yes. Okay. I don't think those belong to him.
No.
The muscles do.
The muscles are his. My goodness. All right. That's 7-1, right?
Yeah.
And I believe they play Buffalo this week.
Really?
Yeah, so that should be
I keep expecting them to lose games.
They should have lost that game against the Manders, but
they didn't.
But Manders gonna Mander.
Yeah, we're moving on.
Pooped in his big boy pants.
He was very happy in that video, too. Just really enjoying himself.
7-1 makes you happy. Beating your former team makes you happier.
Yeah.
That's fair. You like that? Justin Herbert. I mean, one touchdown, 245 yards, played Atlanta, who were dead last against the quarterback.
He has been
threw the ball to Michael Bandy a lot.
A massive disappointment for fantasy this year. And I think at no fault of his. I mean, your weapons have been not there all year. He's been okay without Keenan, but not great. Now he's got no Keenan, no Mike Williams. Like you said, you're throwing it to Bambi. That's hard to have a great fantasy day. And I would say going forward, until you get these weapons back, you have to look at Justin Herbert as an average quarterback, not a league-winning fantasy asset.
Yeah, I made the move on from Herbert this past week, going with Tua moving forward because those weapons are too good. Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, Ron.
Oh, man. 3 interceptions, all 3 basically goal line picks.
Well, the Detroit defense, Jason, don't forget, they were ranked 32nd in yards per play, 32nd in scoring, 32nd in yards per pass attempt. So they obviously were pretty stout.
If the Packers can't figure it out against Detroit, they can't figure it out.
Yeah, you got to bail out, man. Dallas, Tennessee, Philadelphia.
Speaking of bailing out, I was telling Mike this weekend, you know who the number one team, I mean, I was looking at the Stream Finder tool on our website, thefantasyfootballers.com.
What a great website.
I was looking at the Stream Finder tool, the number one team that you want to play your defense against in the league, the Los Angeles Rams. Who didn't do anything to change that opinion this week. 10 fantasy points for Matthew Stafford. He may be an enticing name that you want to stream, but it is not. Yeah, don't fall for it.
Don't do it.
Running back duds. I brought up last week how bad Leonard Fournette's yards per carry was. He said, hey, I'm going to go 9 for 19 on the back of that.
Doesn't matter. That's not what we're looking for.
No, we're looking at the dump truck. Yeah. Five for
41.
41 again. And that's good enough for running back 21 when you
have six teams on bye.
Wow, the running backs were also
bad. Lenny is not. He's not getting it done, though.
No.
On the ground. Like
the Bucs aren't getting it done. I mean, the whole offense, the offensive line, everything looks like a collapser. I know they eked out the win somehow at the end of that game, but, I mean, it's bad news for the Bucs. Bad news, Bucs?
Sure. 8 for 19, 9 for 24, 9 for 19 the last 3 weeks for Mr. Fournette. So, I don't know what you want to do with him. It makes me nervous. I know he can catch the football. I guess you just keep playing him. DeAndre Swift.
Dude.
They said last week 5 carries was a little too much for him.
Yeah.
So they said game 2.
Also, DeAndre Swift went down on the 1 on a reception. Just brutal. A brutal beat. But here, the worst part for DeAndre Swift is you're probably better off not playing him. And yet, he's DeAndre Swift, and like I was talking about him on Sunday Live, saying what you're hoping for is week 2, which was his touches were not drastically different than this that he got in this game, but he's DeAndre Swift.
I believe you said massive sketch, like super sketchy.
Yes, but he can do things on extremely limited work, and you're hoping that he gets it done on the targets, but like I don't even know when is the green light. DeAndre Swift.
24 carries for Jamal Williams, 2 for DeAndre Swift. They won the ball game.
Ugh.
And
ugh.
DeAndre Swift has said he's not going to be 100% this year. So this is very, very nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
It's reminiscent of last year where, you know, he missed time in the middle of the year, came back, and you kept waiting for him to be, like, full go, and it never happened, and it seems like it might not happen.
Yeah, and it might not happen ever. Like, when a running back has been injured as often as DeAndre Swift has, it's very difficult for a team to suddenly be, you know, come out the next year and say, yeah, you're our guy for every down. Like,
right.
You couldn't stay healthy when you weren't our guy for every down. So why would you, you know, it's tough.
The Barry Sanders curse is real.
The Bears didn't need running backs in this game. They had the quarterback running for 178, but David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert were both real bad. 14 for 36 for Montgomery, 7 for 23 for Herbert, 2 targets for Monty, none for Herbert. Papoo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm washing that away. Detroit, Atlanta coming up. I'm still happy to play David Montgomery, and I think you can flex Herbert.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take the happy out of that sentence from myself.
That's fine.
I will play David Montgomery, but he hasn't gone over 70 rushing yards in 6 weeks, and it's makes me scared.
Okay.
Deontay Foreman.
Whoops.
3 fantasy points or something like that. So, not good.
Nope.
Deion Jackson. Mike, you called it. You said it on Sunday Live that Deion Jackson, everyone's trading for him, want to play him.
Yeah.
He
did get hurt.
He did. He caught 2 passes.
But he was incredibly inefficient up until that point. I'm surprised he caught 2 passes. Like that performance by Sam Ellinger was disgusting.
It's Ellinger.
Whatever it is doo-doo. Because that was terrible. And the defense was keeping them in the game. If Matt, I feel it in my bones.
Yeah.
If Matt Ryan was playing in that game, it wouldn't have been fantastic. But there is at least a chance they could have won the game. There was a 0% chance you're winning with Sam Ellinger.
And it's so rough because every bad play he makes is compounded by my brain telling me they named him the starter for the rest of the season.
Yeah, because they...
And that's not his fault for being named that. It's just that shouldn't be the case. You shouldn't come out and give a guy who's never had a start the rest of the season when you were not, you were like 3-3-1 or something when that happened.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Like, if I'm a Colts fan, I'm looking for them to lose every game. I'm saying Jonathan
Taylor. Sure, as a fan, but a coach and the players of the team, they are never, ever looking for that.
Completely agree.
As fans, we're like, yeah, trust the process because it's not our job.
The players
we're not going to get fired.
No, the players and the coach want to win for sure. That's why all the players were like shocked when it happened.
Another thing Mike mentioned on Sunday Live the worry that Gibson and Robinson would both be very inefficient on the ground. Gibson was 11 for 36. Brian Robinson against Minnesota, 13 for 44. They split snaps. Three targets for Gibby, two for Robinson. That was kind of the...
Did he really have negative six?
Yeah.
Brian Robinson?
It was like, remember they ran him on that like wide receiver screen? They play Philly next week, so...
I mean, game script says Antonio Gibson should be a fine play. Let's throw in the fill in the gaps of the J.D. McKissic injury. So he started missing practice last week. You're like, okay, well, this I don't know if this is a big deal. But then by Friday, they said McKissic is out with a neck injury. And the reminder, last year when we lost McKissic for the season, it's because he had a head and a serious neck injury. And the team has said we're going to treat this appropriately, and it feels like McKissic might be in some danger of maybe missing the season. I don't know, but at least missing some time. So the three targets here to Antonio Gibson with no J.D. McKissic was very surprising.
Yeah, it was a tough matchup. Minnesota's defense has been playing good. It's a tough matchup this week, but I would agree with you. We don't have the information on the McKissic injury, but it is possible that this could just be the end. And if it is, then he's a good target because Antonio Gibson, he was in on the passing downs, in on all the 2-minute drills. He will get that passing work. It just wasn't really there in this game. And going forward, he should have enough utilization to be fantasy relevant.
And secondary to him, Brian Robinson will be involved because they split snaps. Sure. And if you play Houston, Atlanta, there could be better game scripts for him. Mm-hmm. Devin Singletary was on the field a ton. Not a great fantasy day. Nyheim Hines uninvolved. One target. Didn't do anything. And then the running backs for the Chiefs. I mean, what do you even do at this point? I mean, Clyde Edwards, 4 for 5. Pacheco, 5 for 5. And McKinnon, 3 for 4.
And Edwards-Helaire had one of the worst. I don't know if you guys saw this particular play.
17% of snaps.
But his goal line carry was just one of the worst efforts I've seen. Because the way that the play was evolving, he got the handoff, he rolled over to the right to go out on the outside of the line. It looked like it was just the easiest walk-in touchdown, and he was too slow. The defender makes up the ground and then stonewalls. It was like, Clyde, the other talented running backs score right there. You're supposed to be a first-round
pick. Not Najee. Najee wouldn't have scored there either. But
I think Najee was at least 50-50 to still get in right there.
Imagine starting the year with James Robinson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Najee Harris.
Oh, man. Top of the world.
You were feeling good.
And the ground beneath you crumbled away. Wide receiver duds. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, they're not doing it. 21 targets. They combined for like 12 for 76 yards.
It was a disgusting game on both sides of the field. The Bucs figured it out there against the prevent defense of the Rams enough to win the game, but it was...
They need to check Robert Gronkowski right now.
Mike Evans got hurt in this game,
at the beginning.
Right in the beginning, just got smooshed, I believe was the technical term.
Yes, the scientific definition of what happened.
And hurt his ribs, got him wrapped up. You could tell the whole game he was not a happy camper playing through it, but man, the Buccaneers are really good at dropping the ball lately.
Yeah, it's gross. And then this one was really surprising. I'm on Ross St. Brown at home, just 4 for 55.
Yeah, what?
55.
What the heck,
man? And then we can pan back to Deucer's Alley if we want.
Okay.
Take a look at Pity City over there in the corner.
Yes.
We built this city.
We did.
Shouldn't have let Ellen Gajerjerjer in.
We did build the city. And then Frank Reich and Company came in like a wrecking ball.
Did you say Frank Reich and Company?
I said Frank Reich and Company.
Oh, I heard Reich and Company.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
good.
But I mean, you know, computer liked it.
Michael Pittman, 6 targets, 3 for 22. I mean, not only was Pittman deleted from the fantasy sphere with the change of quarterback, which to Jason's credit, he feared greatly. And, you know, with the yards that he was putting up before, I thought maybe he could be sustained.
I thought he would be okay for 4.
But Alec Pierce's flexibility was deleted as well. I mean, at least with Matt Ryan, you kind of wanted to play him. You wanted to see what you got, you know?
Yep.
Like maybe something exciting is going to happen. No!
And Jonathan Taylor.
Sam, I can't.
Oh, very nice. If Jonathan Taylor actually comes back next week, which I don't think he will, but if he does, and he's 100% healthy, he is not fixing this team.
No. No, he's not.
It's the Raiders next week.
Okay. Next week may be
Sim,
okay.
Sim, fire up your Sim Ellinger.
Tyler Boyd, Terry McLaurin, Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
Gabe Davis, just 2 for 33 in a what seemed like a good situation with Sauce Gardner on Stephon Diggs. I traded Gabe Davis away this past week, and my justification for that is not that Gabe Davis can't give you a big week, but I think that there are players that are foundation players, and there are players that aren't to the offense. And I think that somebody like I traded him in a deal to get Jalen Waddle because I think Jalen Waddle is a foundational player to the offense, and I think Gabe Davis is not yet that.
Agreed.
And yet can have monster games. It's just sometimes that's the differentiator between what you want on your roster, what you don't. Like Gabe's a great flex. If I have him in a flex position, I can get a monster week.
Sure.
But I felt nervous in the wide receiver too because, I don't know, they just sometimes they don't need him.
Yeah, you want more consistency from your wide receiver two spot, but very few wide receivers have the ability to go out and be the number one overall wide receiver on a week. So the upside is there, and that's why when you have him as a third wide receiver or a flex option, you can win a week with him.
Do you know that, and I hadn't really looked at this until just now, but do you know he's on pace for 43 receptions? I mean, and I'm not talking recent weeks. I'm talking about for the year, like his yearly pace. He's only had more than 3 receptions in a game one time. That was week one.
His catch percentage on his type of targets is very low because what's his
93 target pace? I was going to say the targets are probably receptions. Fine.
Yeah, he's always been one of those guys where it's like most plays are
take a shot,
chuck it super deep, which is where you know it.
Little D-jacks like
if he catches it, you had a great fantasy day, and if it doesn't, then you're like next week.
But don't worry, his company in the wide receiver room, Isaiah McKenzie, Khalil Shakir did nothing. DJ Moore, we flew too close to the sun.
Yep.
And we should have known that, like Icarus, he would fall upon the earth 2 for 24 and no good. And this was a game where they were down from the very, very beginning. You would have thought you could get some garbage time from DJ Moore in this one.
Yeah, they put
Baker in for the garbage time. That was the problem.
You had an angry Cincinnati Bengals team coming off the embarrassing loss.
Yeah, Devontae Smith, just 2 catches.
Yep.
Jacoby Myers just 5 for 42. That's not that bad. That's not that bad. How dare you, Brooks?
I mean, you expect, a little disappointed. You expect more from Jacoby.
No, you're right. You're right. He goes on by, though. Jacoby has been very good, so this is very beneath him.
Yep.
Great job, Brooks. the tight end position.
I got a big problem here, fellas.
Yeah?
I still believed in Tyler Higbee after the 6 targets on very, very limited snaps.
Right, but now you're done with that, right?
It turned into the goose egg, and I'm trying to look forward. Okay, next week, what's going on with the tight end position?
Yeah, who are you
going to
pick up and play, right?
And then I see that Tyler Higbee is playing the Arizona Cardinals.
You lock him in. You lock him in. I'm telling you, it's one of those like, no, you can't do that. Higbee's done. He's toast. He's not getting targets. He's 5 for 50 is the baseline against Arizona. Andy's saying no.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it just because his snap percentages are going down so much. The involvement seems to be schemed out. Maybe they change it. Maybe Higbee's good. He's high risk next week. Let's put it that way. I mean, Noah Fant did it.
Because everybody does it. If you're labeled a tight end, you get it done against the Cardinals.
Not Disley though, right?
I mean, he was
okay. So if you roll with Disley, you
I'm saying
get it.
Like in context of perspective of like, would you ever play Will Disley in fantasy? The answer has been no.
So what are you gonna do? I want to know.
I'll tell you on Friday.
You could. I try my best, guys. Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts, I think, led the team pass catchers in fantasy points. He was 2 for 27.
He also led the NFL in air yards.
Marcus, somebody asked me, like, what's the problem here between Kyle Pitts and Marcus Mariota? Because Pitts was open downfield a ton. The problem, I surmise, is Marcus Mariota's arm.
Sure.
It is not manufactured
properly.
It's a
top culprit.
Yeah, it's not. He had him open, but if you can't throw him the ball, that is the issue.
And to be fair, he did drop one of the three. He had three big bomb.
He dropped one?
Yeah. He had three big bomb plays down the field that were just what you dream of for Kyle Pitts. Two of them were absolutely uncatchable. They're not actually air yards. Like, technically it was going to him, but not really. And then he had another one.
You juiced the air yards because it was 15 yards over his head.
Right, exactly. But he did drop one of them that he should have caught.
So, Gerald Everett was a disappointment this week. You expected
big
a
time.
Lot more from him.
Big time.
He had the same amount of receptions as Michael Bandy, who will be the kind of, he's the example of what you don't want.
This poor guy. He's doing his best.
Yeah,
5 for 26.
He's doing his best. It's, I mean, it's hard to walk on ice.
Does he even? He lost his mom.
Yeah.
Did he?
To a hunter.
I like it, but that was the same. I was...
Breaking news.
Holy crap.
Frank Reich is fired.
Frank Reich is out.
I told you. I told you this was going to happen.
Oh, that's
Adam Schefter, verified Twitter account. Frank Reich is out.
I can't wait to find out the details because I'm saying he probably went and was like.
I bet he was.
I'll bet he's like, I'm not
doing this anymore. I'm putting Matt Ryan back in.
Yeah. There's got to be something going on
there.
Because this isn't, it's not his fault. He was told, put in Sam Ehlinger.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, it's all speculation, to be fair.
I would love for Frank Reich to come to the Cardinals. Please, please bring me Frank Reich.
Oh man, that's so wild.
I mean, this the writing was on the wall for this. I mean, I think last week I said he looked like the president who served five terms. He was toasted. He's done.
But I'm like, this is a.
There was contentiousness at the top.
This is burn it down.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
this
Colts
is,
fans.
This is burn it down. He's a great coach. I think he's a great coach.
I do too.
But we don't really. I don't want to like state as fact what we do not know.
Of course,
no,
which
not
is
at all.
I mean, but we were saying like, okay, he was told to do this. He was told. We don't know who said what about which player. Well, we really don't. We know that. There was some pressure at the top was being reported, but we don't know who made the final calls on those things. We don't know the final decision.
Yeah, I mean, we...
Unless you have a source that I haven't seen.
There was some
there
articles...
I thought there was a lot of chatter. Yeah,
there were some articles written by the journalists inside the Colts organization that talked about the long night of conversation between GM, owner, coach, and that Reich was the last to be willing to come on board. And Irsay came out and even admitted... that when it comes to the matters, you know, he doesn't want to meddle, but when it comes to the quarterback position, he will intervene. So I think that is, we don't know the specifics of exactly what was said, but we do know that it came down from Jim Irsay, or that he was at least very involved in wanting to make that move.
Goodness.
So the report that I'm seeing from Tom Pelissero is that he was fired. I was curious if it was a resignation. It says Frank Reich is fired.
Oh, I mean, you got to get that money.
All right. I think that's it for studs and duds.
Is it?
Yeah. Jim Irsay, final dud.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. I mean, Evan Engram stunk.
He got hurt.
Also stunk.
Sure.
Also stinks. also will stink.
Stink, stunk.
Mike Gesicki didn't do anything. Dawson Knox, minimal use.
He didn't catch a touchdown, so.
So, yeah.
Wow, I mean, my mind is blown, man. Mid-season?
Yeah,
we've got to get Cliff fired. Cliff Kingsbury's so bad.
The problem was extending it.
Oh, you mean when it was like, man, should you move on from Cliff Kingsbury? Should you fire him? Maybe. No, let's re-sign him to 2027.
What's interesting is you'd think that... you see, Cliff has the same agent as Kyler, right?
Yes.
So you would think that there's a conversation that the team has with Kyler Murray because he's the long-term commit, right? He's the big money commit. You think there's a conversation there about who do you want?
Oh, I have no doubt. I think he I'll bet he likes Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
His life is pretty easy.
Because he's not accountable for anything?
Exactly. He's in charge.
He's like the babysitter that is not the parents, it's the babysitter?
Mm-hmm. Babysitter's in charge.
Any other strong thoughts from you today, Jason? You had some strong thoughts last night before things went your way.
Yeah,
you're kind of losing it.
I was tilting.
I've seen some requests because we have the Fantasy Football is Cool t-shirt. At least we did. Yes. I don't know if that's still up. I've seen many requests for the Fantasy Football is Stupid.
Yes.
Okay, we can get to work on that.
Because I hate fantasy football. I love fantasy football shirt.
Sometimes you gotta let it out. You'll be back.
There is no,
as we all are.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not a choice. Like, if you want to invest in fantasy football and care about it and have fun and enjoy it and do the things we've done for the last 8 years, all the ups, all the fun, all the speculation, all the commonality between human beings, being able to talk about these things, running into strangers on an elevator and having a conversation about Justin Jefferson, you have to have the bad.
Yes.
And the only way you can deal with the bad, because you actually don't have any of these players on your actual team, this is all pretend, is to talk about it and to exclaim from the mountaintops the injustices.
We got
to
share our feelings. Got to get them out. Don't bottle them down.
I mean.
Or you end up looking like Frank Reich.
Yeah, dude, that guy.
Just a broken man.
He looked like a fresh face, and he's gone through, six quarterbacks?
Brutal.
He just needs Kyler.
This isn't an official report, but I am hearing that he walked out of the office and said, thank goodness. That's what I'm hearing.
His hair got a little less gray when he...
Yeah, he walked out and it was like...
just for men.
It's the just for men. Yeah, he just walked out of the room.
Oh, I'm also getting a report. Cliff Kingsbury's been extended again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're done talking about fantasy football for the day. Waiver tomorrow. Follow along with the sweat tonight if you want. I wish we had both shirts so I could choose which one to wear tomorrow morning. We'll have to figure that out. Thanks for tuning in. Jointhefoot.com.
We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.